There are certain things in life that just suck. Pouring a big bowl of Lucky Charms before realizing the milk has expired. The word moist. Falling face first into the salad bar in front of the entire lacrosse team. Bird strike! Being on a plane with Jason Lippincott is another one of them. Two rows ahead of me, Jason is holding his hands up in mock prayer as our plane bounces like it's on a bungee cord. Not that I would have any idea what bungee jumping feels like, since I would rather compete in a spelling bee in my underpants than leap off a crane with only a rope tied around me. At least I'd come away from the spelling bee with a medal. As the plane drops several hundred, thousand feet, I white-knuckle the armrest. Jason's prayers may be a joke, but mine are very, very real. God, please deposit me safely on the ground in London. And in the process, maybe you could find a way to get Jason to shut it. I hate to fly. Seriously, hate it. It seems wrong to be hurtling through the clouds at warp speed in a metal tube. It makes about as much sense as being flung over the ocean on a slingshot. I tuck my pocket Shakespeare into the seat back and carefully realign the magazines that have bounced out of formation on my tray table.
We're going down!
That's Jason again. Of course. The plane bounces even worse than before. My knees crash into the tray table, sending my half-eaten package of peanuts and my entire stack of magazines raining into the aisle. I instinctively grab for the armrest once more, and the businessman next to me lets out a loud yelp. Oops, not the armrest. His thigh. I thought it felt a little flabby. I mutter an apology and adjust my kung fu grip to the real armrest this time. Breathe. Breathe. I close my eyes and try to picture Mark. Weirdly, the first image that comes into my head is his yearbook picture. He has the perfectly proportioned features of a model. A bright white smile with perfect teeth all lined up in a perfect row. Except for that one tooth, three from the center, that is a teeny bit crooked, which I love. Because it sort of shows off how straight the other ones are. And his thick, wavy brown hair is always in the right place, mussed just enough, but not too much, without the aid of any greasy or crunchy hair product. Perfect. Just like him. I finally start to feel calm, like I'm coasting across the ocean on the back of a little songbird instead of strapped into a lumpy polyester seat. Then Jason lets out a loud, "Whoa!" shattering my Mark-inspired zen. I sit up straight in my seat. Jason's got his arms raised like he's on a roller coaster. A pretty flight attendant glides up the aisle toward him. Good. If God can't get Jason to shut it, maybe she can. I crane my neck for a better view of the scolding I know is coming his way. Instead, I see the flight attendant pass him a folded-up napkin, which he immediately opens to reveal a stack of chocolate chip cookies. From the way he's handling them, all delicately, I can tell they're still warm. The flight attendant flashes Jason a smile. He says something to her, and she laughs. He acts like a jerk and still scores first-class snacks. Oh my God, he is too much. Isn't he hilarious? It's Sarah Finder, Newton North's resident TMZ. She's elbowing her seatmate, Evie Elston, in the ribs, nodding in Jason's direction. Seriously, adorable. And the Scarlet thing is over, right? Way over. They broke up weeks ago. Of course Sarah knows. Sarah always knows. So far, during the 3 hours and 27 minutes we have been on this flight, Sarah and Evie have left no student undiscussed. Except for me. Possibly because the last time there was any gossip about me, it was in eighth grade, when Brian Holloman taped a felt rose to my locker on Valentine's Day. The only reason anyone cared was that, it came out the next day, the rose was actually meant for Stephanie Kelly. From my vantage point in the seat directly behind her, I've already heard about Amber Riley's supposed nose job, Rob Diamo's recent suspension for smoking cigarettes in the janitor's closet, and the shame Laura Roberts was undergoing, having received her mother's 2000 Honda instead of the brand new Range Rover she'd been telling everyone she'd get. Think he's all wounded and needy, on the prowl for someone new? Evie has one of those oversized mouths attached to an oversized face that makes all her vowels sound a mile long. Doubtful, Sarah answers, then lowering her voice. He said he's trying to join the Mile High Club. Seriously? Isn't that like when people, you know, on a plane? From the way Evie's voice jumps to Mariah Carey octaves, it's hard to tell if she's horrified or interested in signing herself up as a willing partner. Shh. And yes, totally. You know how he is. Up for anything, Sarah says. Gross. I say a silent prayer that God can add Sarah to the list of people to render temporarily mute while he's working on keeping our plane in the sky. I mean, I am totally not one of those prudes who believe having sex as a teenager is some kind of mortal sin or social death. I don't have a problem with sex. I just don't happen to be having it. And if I were having sex, I certainly wouldn't be getting it on in an airplane bathroom. Who wants to get down and dirty in a place so cramped and dirty?